Lesson number 9, Trials of His Passion. By the word passion, we mean his sufferings and death. Perhaps from the upper room, Gethsemane, through Calvary and the lonely tomb. All through this time, our memory verse predicts he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes we are healed. The contrast between what he suffered and what we get is clearly brought to mind. Part number 1. He is the betrayed one. Betrayed. The word betrayed indicates that he was exposed to the control of his enemies by his friend. That's what a betrayal is. The enemy was bent on his destruction. They were looking for ways to arrest and destroy him. Judas volunteered to be the betrayer. He would find the right place and the right time and identify the right person. So he was betrayed. One of you shall betray me. Judas will betray me. How did Judas betray? With a kiss. What does this sign normally indicate? Affection. So under the cloak of pseudo-affection, Judas betrayed Christ into the hands of his enemies. So that the enemy then could have Jesus under control. Now, how did Jesus seek to spare Judas from his ignominy? When the multitude led by Caiaphas came within range of Jesus, Christ asked him, "Whom seek ye?" They said, "Jesus of Nazareth." And Christ said, "I am he." So he identifies himself, and immediately divinity flashes through humanity, and all the temple guard, including Caiaphas and Judas, fall as dead men. Then Christ waits for the glory to dissipate, and the angels to go retire into the background. They're waiting. Caiaphas and the multitude stagger to their feet, and brush the dust from their garments and elbows. And Christ asks the same question a second time. "Whom seek ye?" And they said to him, "Jesus of Nazareth." And then Christ said, "I've already told you. When I was in the temple, why didn't you arrest me?" So the same being who had manifested deity was the one whom they had seen in the temple. So Christ clearly identifies himself and saves himself any further identification, and spares Judas the need for the kiss. But he wanted to earn his pieces of silver, and so he kissed him. What a betrayal. In what light was that betrayal carried out? Part number 2, the denied one. Christ had predicted that Peter would deny him 3 times. And Peter had taken an oath that this would never be. But Peter had slept while Christ prayed, and so was unready for his trial. And when it sneaked up on him, he denied. And then, after the 3rd time, just as the cock crowed, Peter remembered and looked up, and Jesus was looking at him. A look of love, understanding, compassion, and forgiveness. And Peter went out and wept, but prepared to preach at Pentecost. Part number 3, the forsaken one. All his disciples forsook him and fled. When Christ had healed the demoniacs, the people begged him, "Depart from us." Even Peter said, "Depart from me, I am a sinful man." The very righteousness of Jesus Christ made him aloof and made his closest disciples sometimes feel, as John the Baptist had at the time of the baptism, that he was too good for them. And so one of his trials was that his own should leave him. He came to his own, and there was nobody there ready to watch with him. Even at the time of the trial, no man stood by him. Part number four, he is the ridiculed one. Ridicule, jest, is sometimes very difficult to take. Few of us are persecuted physically. But sometimes in our family, we are persecuted by ridicule, by the snide remark, by the cruel cut, by the twisted, wry smile of derision. Jesus Christ was the ridiculed one. We are not born of fornication. Somebody found Mary, fathered Jesus. So all Nazareth said. They believed Joseph. We are not born of fornication. No, he was born of God through the Spirit and was that Holy One. But they ridiculed his birth. The scribes and the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the rulers, Pilate, Herod, people on the cross, the soldiers, they all ridiculed him. "Come down if you're the king. If you're a prophet, prophesy who struck thee. Work a miracle." Part number five, he is the abused one. Now, abuse can be verbal, but it's generally physical. And in Christ's case, it was physical. Twice they scourged him. His bones must have been exposed. He almost died. Christ almost died several times. But his hour of death had not yet come, and so the Father strengthened him for further trials. He almost died in Gethsemane, but the Father strengthened him that he might go through the scourgings. He almost died through the scourgings, but the Father strengthened him that he might go through Calvary and be nailed to a cross. Until his final moment came, the Father strengthened him. And so he says, "Was there any sorrow like mine? Was there any suffering like mine? Did any man go through what I did?" They smote his back, they beat him with a reed on the cheeks, they plucked off his hair, they spat in his face, they put a rough cross on his lacerated back. The trials of his passion were more than we can imagine. And as we focus on this week, let us remember that his sufferings were mental, they were physical, they were spiritual. Could he get through this? What sort of a portal through the darkness did faith open up? It was social, half-brothers, mother and sisters, brothers, his friends, his enemies, ridiculed him, abused him. He was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. And through it all, never by a thought did Jesus Christ sin. Overwhelms, doesn't it? Leads us to pray, "Lord, in my trivial trials, persecutions, ridicule, keep me true. Fill me with the same spirit that sustained my younger brother."
This has been another classic sermon from the archive of American Christian Ministries. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministries.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There is no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.